Turn to 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3 this morning. We're going to be starting in the 16th verse. This morning we're going to see a young man who has taken over the rule of his father's kingdom. His father was David. The young man's name is Solomon. And Solomon asked the Lord as he appeared to him in the night as he prayed. And he asked him, he said, "What would you that I would give you?" And Solomon asked for the wisdom to be able to lead God's people. And he asked for the wisdom to be able to direct their paths the way that God would have him direct them. And he asked for a great thing. He didn't ask for riches, but he asked for wisdom. And today that's what we need to ask for and ask God about, is to ask for wisdom. Because in a lot of things we've got book smarts, but we've got no sense. And we need to have a lot of things that we have a head knowledge of God about, but we need to have a heart knowledge of God about to know the knowledge and the understanding and the wisdom of God. And God will give us that wisdom and that understanding if we'll seek it. But we see now, it's not about Solomon today. What we're going to see is two mothers that are going to come before him for a judgment here. As King Solomon here, he was going to be well known for what he had asked in the judgment that he was going to have. Now later on in years, his judgment got tainted because he had so many wives that they changed his heart, and he didn't seek completely after God like he ought to, and built high places for them to be able to worship their false gods. And that's what can happen. We can start out in a good race, but we can make some bad decisions, even though we may ask God for the wisdom and for the knowledge to be able to lead. If we don't follow his leadership, then we end up in trouble. But now we see in verse 16, it says, Then came there two women that were harlots under the king and stood before him. Now, no doubt they were going through a great ordeal here to come and stand before the king, an occupation that they was in. Here as we see that they were harlots, but they come before the king and stood before him. And the one woman said, "O my Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child, and with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day after that I was delivered, that the woman was delivered also, and we were together, and there was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house." Now, I've told Cassandra and Josh, Cassandra, she said, they may just have one child. And I said, "Well, now, you've got to have at least two to be parents." And she kind of looked at me. I said, "Because if you just have one and they break something, you know who done it." Josh, yeah, I heard that. You need to have at least two to be considered parents. That's just a joke. But if you just got one, you pretty well know if something gets broke what took place. But we see here, she said, there was no stranger in the house. There was no one else to blame. There was no one else that could have done anything that could have changed the course of things the way they were going, as she's pleading her cause before Solomon here. Now, Solomon at this stage is still a young man, a very young man still yet, as these women have come before him now. And it said, and there was no stranger in the house, and we save we two in the house. And verse 19 says, "And this woman's child died in the night because she overlaid it. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while thine handmaid slept, and laid it in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I arose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son which I did bear." Now, I noticed something in Philip's prayer when he prayed there, and he said that only God's love was greater than a mother's love. A mother knows. A mother knows. A mother's got an instinct to know when her children's suffering. A mother has an instinct to be able to tell what's going on in their life when they're just not right, when they're troubled about something. They just know that there's something not just quite right with them in their life, and something that they need to either pray about, something they need to talk about, or someone's hurt their feelings. They just know by that love that they have. And she knew her child, that this was not her child, even though they were only 3 days difference in age. She knew this was not her son, that this other woman had done this thing. And it says, "And the other woman said, Nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son. And this said, No, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. Thus they spake before the king." Now I can just see it going back and forth. You know how it gets sometimes. No, I can just see it now. He may have been holding his head by this point in time with him going back and forth at one another. But they were in dire straits, especially the mother whose child was gone. And her heart was broken because she realized what had took place, because she had still that love connection. If you remember when Moses' mother had to lay him in the ark of bulrushes and placed him by the river's edge, and Pharaoh's daughter found him, she had put her daughter there to keep watch to see what happened of Moses. And whenever Pharaoh's daughter drew him out of the water, the little girl went up to her. And whenever they said, well, this is one of the Hebrew children or women, and she needed a handmaid, she run and fetched her mother, because she knew no one could tend to Moses like her mother could. God loves us and gave us mothers that can tend to us like no one else could. There's the only other love that we know that's any greater than a mother's love is God's love. And God loved Solomon and gave him wisdom. And God is going to share His love and His wisdom with Solomon to make the right decisions. And God loves us, and sometimes we seem like we're separated, and sometimes it seems like we're divided, but God wants to bring us together and making the right decisions for God. And we come before His judgment seat and ask for His guidance. He will give us the right answers. He will direct our path that we won't make the mistakes that many have made. But here we see that they were going back and forth and arguing over whose child this is. In verse 23 it says, "Then said the king, the one saith, this is my son that liveth, and thy son is the dead. And the other saith, nay, but thy son is the dead, and my son is the living." He was betwixt a hard rock and a hard place here to make the decision. He may have never seen these women before. He may have not known their background. He may not have known if they was always truthful or if they were deceitful. But he had to rely on one that could give him the answer, and it's God. Friends, there's one that we can rely on as mothers and fathers to give us the right answer, and it's God. We need to look to Him for leadership and guidance, and as we share our love with our children, that they can share with theirs, that we leave a legacy behind of love. And the love of God is the greatest legacy that we can pass down from generation to generation. That we can share the love of God. I've heard many that have said that love sometimes was a foreign thing. It shouldn't be. In our homes today, it should be something that is on our lips, not just word service, but something that's heartfelt and something that is true, alive, and is breathing the love that we have for one another and to have for God. But Solomon here, he's making his decision. He's thinking about what to be done here. And it says, "And the king said, bring me a sword. And they brought a sword before the king." Now, I would have been getting a little curious if I'd have been one of them women standing there and the guy asked for a sword that I'm standing before pleading my cause. Well, what's he going to do with that? We stand before the world and we plead our causes to them and to everybody. And we iron our laundry out to everybody, but we don't take it to God. And we wonder why sometimes that we get a knife in the back. We wonder why we have hardships and trials and tribulations. We wonder why we're the center of talk from other people. It's because of the decisions that we've made. Maybe those that we've talked to that we should have kept our mouth shut and took it to God for the right answer. The sword, the Word of God, is sharper than anything that we know. It can divide between the bone and the marrow. The Word of God, how sharp is our instrument that God has given us to use for judgment? The Word of God. He said, "Bring a sword," and they brought a sword before the king, and the king said, "Divide the living child in two, and give half to the one and half to the other." That sounds like a little hasty judgment. You think, oh, King Solomon, you're supposed to be smart and wise. You're going to divide the living child in half and give one to each lady? But he knew that when harm would come to this infant, that the true mother would speak out. And her love would be greater than her desire to hold on to that half a child. "Then spake the woman whose the living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son." And remember, in the Old Testament, when they used the term bowels, that was her innermost part, as what we consider saying the heart of the subject, the heart of the matter. In the Old Testament times, that's what they're saying when her bowels yearned. Deep inside of her, she was troubled, and she didn't want to see any harm come to this child. She wanted it to be able to live, but she had a deep down burning desire for that child. And she said, "O my Lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other said, let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. Now it's sad to say and it's sad to hear that the woman, the second woman, would make such a statement. But we have it being said by women today. We have it being said by families today that are taking children's lives. And we wonder why in America we're not blessed when we have killed our children instead of taking responsibility for actions. Instead of becoming biblical, we have become more, oh, let's get along. Times are changing. People are changing. I'm not saying it's a change for the better. Times have changed. People have changed. We've got far away from the Word of God. We've got far away from the wisdom that Solomon was seeking here to make this decision, and what he spoke and how he decided whose child it truly was. Bless you. Then the king answered and said, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. She is the mother thereof. Solomon knew that when the true mother spoke out and says, no, don't harm her. Don't harm it. Give it to the other lady. Don't let no harm come to it. He knew that mother's love. He knew that she would rather see him live in someone else's house than for his life to be taken. He knew that love overcome her desire to have that child in her arms. She would rather him live and have an opportunity to grow up. Mary was faced with a similar circumstance. Her son was told to her before he was even conceived that he would be the Savior of the world, that she was going to bear the Son of God. She knew his whole life, what his purpose was going to be. That one day that he would be lifted up on a cross of Calvary and that he would give his life, that he would be slain, that she, even she, could live. She knew when God sent His angel and spoke to her all the time what her son's end was going to be. These two women, the one could see what the end could be if she allowed her child to be divided, and she chose for him life. Mary knew that her decision was not going to change the outcome because God's decision was already that His son should pay the penalty for you and I. But in that mother's love, as he went to that cross, she yearned for her son. She cried for her son. If she could have traded places with her son through the love that she had, she would have. But she knew she couldn't. She knew that she was not good enough to die for all mankind, but that the Son of God was. That he had lived a perfect life. That he had lived a righteous life. That when he was tempted, he didn't give in to it because he had and was and still is the wisdom of God. He gave us his word to follow. That we don't have to be nailed to a cross and sacrificed. That we are given the decision of life or death. And we can choose life. Death's already been chosen for us. If we are not born again, ready to go to meet Jesus, if we're not saved, all the mother's prayers that go up for their children and don't change our lives, and we harden our heart off so much that it doesn't change us, their prayers, it's not God's fault. It's not our mother's fault. It's our fault for hardening our heart and turning away from God. We see that Solomon turned to God for answers. Mary, when Jesus was hanging on the cross, had to rely on God that this was what needed to be done for all mankind, for his brothers that were there, for his mother, for his kindred, for His disciples, for the Romans that were driving the nails in His hands and His feet, and placing the crown of thorns upon His head. In her heart, she had to look to God for the strength to be able to witness what her son went through, knowing all the time that she couldn't choose life for him, but through his death, life would come for her and for you and for me. Life was chosen. Life was chosen for this young child here because of a mother's love that was greater than her desire to possess. Is our love greater for our brothers and sisters that are lost and dying and going to hell? Is it greater than for our passion to possess the material things of this world? Is it greater than our possessions? Is it greater than just knowing that our family is prepared and ready, knowing that someone else is ready to meet us there too? How would you like it if one day we stand together and all those that we don't tell about Jesus that we meet every day stands there and has the opportunity to accuse us of never telling them about Jesus? We're going to feel lower than the lowest because we didn't take time. We may have talked to them about the racing. We may have talked to them about the baseball scores. We may have talked about them with football, fishing, knitting, crocheting, cooking. I'm trying to get everybody in here, mechanicking, whatever it may be that's your passion. We may have shared that with them, but we never shared Jesus. Never shared the one that could change their life for an eternity. Never took time to divide the necessary and the unnecessary. Never taking time to share with them the most important thing, Jesus. And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. Now, friend, let me tell you something I think has happened today. The Christian world has lost the respect that it should deserve for knowing God, for the wisdom of knowing Jesus, for the guidance of the knowledge of God in our lives. We have lost the respect of even the lost and dying, because at one time, even the lost didn't cuss in front of a Christian, didn't dare cuss in front of a woman, didn't cuss in front of the preacher. Now they don't care. Most of the time, the women's worse than the men. And it's sad to say that we've got to that point, but is it because we have not shared Jesus? Is it because we are not on the labor force of God doing what we need to do? We complain about people having this job and that job, and, oh, if it wasn't for them, I'd have that. Maybe it's because you don't work like you ought to work. Oh, I've got lost people I've prayed for 30 years. Well, keep praying. But maybe you need to do something else along with the praying. Maybe you need to silently witness to them. Maybe you need to live the Word before them. Maybe your life's not much of a testimony. Have you ever considered that? And what they're looking at. Because it's one thing to say it, it's another thing to try and live a godly life. Am I perfect? No. Do I fail? Yes. I'll be the first one to tell you that. I'll never tell you that I'm perfect. The only thing that's perfect about me is a soul that God saved. And He made it perfect. I couldn't. But they feared the king because of how He judged. People fear the government because of the power that has been given to them. But we ought to fear God. And we need to respect Him. He gave Solomon a knowledge and a judgment that surpassed anybody's knowledge of the time. Still yet, Solomon failed. Friend, we're going to have our mistakes. We're going to have our troubles. Let's don't use it for an excuse. Let's ask God for the wisdom to make the right choices. Ask God for the right knowledge that we can make the judgment call when the going gets tough, that we don't have to sit and wonder if this is what God would have me to do, that we have prayed up, that we've studied up, that we know that God would have us to tell someone about Jesus. That when they're cursing, that we can stand up and say, you know, please don't do that. Don't take my Lord's name in vain. I'm a Christian. That offends me. They have no problem offending. Stand up and tell them. Have the right judgment. But it takes God for us to be able to do it. We can't do it on our own. But if you ask Him, He will give you the knowledge. These ladies got their answer. The right mother was given her child. And I'm glad that God still saves. I'm glad that no matter what I've done in my past, that God forgave me. And forgave me and forgot those things. That He set me free, made me different, changed my life. And He'll do the same for you. A mother's love. This mother had a great love for her child that she didn't want to see harm come to him. And that should be a love that we share with each one today. A Christ-like love. Even to those that are hard to love. Because it's easy to love those that love you. It's not so easy to love those that don't. But God told us to love everyone. To strive to get along with all men. And to love our enemy even as ourselves. To do good to those that despitefully use you. To those that would try to take from you. Not just let them have your coat, but give them your cloak also. Wisdom. Respect. That's something as Christians we need of this world. And we should live a life of God that they would respect that we are a Christian. That they would see that He has given us the knowledge to live a life and follow after Him. And that we don't make rash decisions and ungodly decisions. That we have godly principles and rules in our life. That we live after those. As thus saith the Word, that would be our motto. And that would be our creed. That would be our life. What God's Word says is so. And all other things else be a lie. This morning, if you're here and you're lost, as Mary watched her son walk up Calvary's hill, she knew that he was going for you. And he went for me. And he went that he could bring salvation unto all mankind. Not just some, not just a few, but to all mankind, to all that would believe and trust Jesus as their Savior. Friend, have you trusted Him this morning? Have you surrendered your life to Him? It's the most important decision you'll ever make. If you're in need of wisdom, God will give it to you. He's standing and showing you Himself, telling you that He wants to save you, but will you listen to His words this morning? It's not in a lightning storm. It's not in a tornado that He's going to speak. It's not in a fire that He's going to get your attention. But it's when He speaks with that small, still voice. And says, I'm here, I love you, and I want to save you. Then is when we need to respond to His call. As they get a song prepared of invitation. This morning, friend, if you're here and you're lost, you don't have to leave that way. Whether you're a mother, or whether you're a child, whether you're a husband, God loves you all equally and wants to save you equally. Well, preacher, I've went so long and I've put this off so much and God's dealt with my heart many times, but I've shunned it and I've held on to the bench. Friend, all those excuses are no good. All He's interested in about is right now, if He's dealing with your heart. Right now, if He's knocking, is the time that's important. Right now, if He's speaking and you're hearing Him call your name, wanting you to come to an altar and receive Him as your Savior, that's what's important.